episode 12 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Amy, and Andy. Our topic today is what happens when your careful planning falls apart. Have you ever had an unforeseen incident cause you to make changes on the fly? How did you deal with it? What would you do differently next time? I've got a feeling that we can all tell some stories about this one, so let's get started. So, anybody have some travel mishaps they want to talk about?
This is like the most depressing topic ever.
But it's important. It happens.
It's not always
just
bad.
All you think about when you book travel is, I'm going on this no matter what. I don't care if I'm sick. I don't care if my husband's sick. That's all you're thinking. You're not thinking about flights. You're not thinking about weather or if you just suddenly trip on the sidewalk or moving things.
Or even worse, I mean, for a whole year, I had worries about my mother-in-law being sick, and then right after that, my father-in-law being sick. We got lucky, but it was a concern. So you never know.
I think the most common one probably is airline changes. That it's like the most annoying. I am saying this completely unscientifically. I have no proof that it's the most common, but it seems like it happens to everyone at some point. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they make reality TV shows about it. And so clearly it's an issue. So why don't we start with that one?
And they don't read. They aren't going to say, "Oh, let us pay for another flight for you to go since we made you leave." They don't do that.
And in fact, their tickets, you know, if you read the fine print of an airline ticket, it basically says,
they're not allowed.
We owe you. Anything. Yes. I was going to say it in a far less polite way, but yes, they basically say, if we decide not to fly, too bad. Yeah. You know, so yeah, it's really only good business that keeps them offering you anything.
Well, I know when I was stuck in Miami for a really long layover, and then there was a thunderstorm and lightning, and you know, the workers obviously have to leave the tarmac, but they left everything out there. And when I got home, everything in my suitcase was soaking wet because it had been sitting out there for like an hour in that thunderstorm. And, you know, all I could think was like, thank God I'm coming home. What if I was going there? What if that was on my way to vacation? That made me kind of think about what I might do different when I pack next time. That would stink, you know, that would be.
It would. And I think that's a good point is a lot of these airline delays are actually safety related. And I was actually just at an airport and overheard people talking about how they were incensed that the pilot needed a 2-hour nap before taking the next flight. And I'm like, if the pilot tells me he needs a nap, I say he needs a nap. Wow. I don't want him sleeping while he's flying the plane.
Like, can't they just put that on autopilot?
What do you think this is? This is a big, heavy metal object, man-made, flying through the air. There's absolutely no reason this should work. And I certainly want someone awake to control it.
That's a good point. The last time I flew back to England, I had to be there by a certain date because I was going to see, in my mind, a very important soccer game. And you know, it was being held in at Wembley Stadium in London on a particular date. Well, I had all my reservations all lined up and everything, and I got to Charlotte Airport, 90 miles up the road from where I live. And 6 hours later, I'm still there at Charlotte Airport, missing my connecting flight to Philadelphia, potentially missing my flight to England, because there is a mechanical problem with the plane, and people are complaining, we couldn't back up away from the gate. Well, somebody was saying, surely the plane goes forward. Got off the plane and, you know, they rerouted me through Frankfurt, Germany. I had an 8-hour layover there. Got to England the same day and didn't miss the game. But yes, safety is critical, whether it's the pilot getting enough sleep or mechanical issues being addressed in a timely manner and safely and the correct parts.
So I guess the moral of that story is if you have to be somewhere, book it a day or two early.
Yes,
you
know? Absolutely. Yeah. If at all possible, don't put your extra days at the end of the trip. Put it at the beginning of the trip.
Whenever I ran the Dopey race last January at Disney, there were people, you know, it's in January, so the whole Northeast was snowed in. Practically the whole country. The Midwest was snowed in. It was awful. And, you know, if you didn't get there for the expo on Wednesday, then you weren't running the 5K on Thursday, and then you weren't doing the Dopey challenge. Mm-hmm. People were stressing about that, and you know, it just pays. Come a day early and get there, you know.
I was reading something today, a the importance of, particularly if you're taking a cruise, cruise ships don't wait for you either. Let's move on to different modes of transportation. But there are obviously flights involved in getting you. Say, if you live in California, you're taking a flight out of Florida, a cruise out of Florida, and you're trying to fly in that same day or flying in from wherever. To try and save a couple of $100 on a hotel room overnight, but then you're faced with travel-related issues, whether it's you know, the plane itself or weather or an act of God or whatever it may be. That cruise ship's not going to wait for you. If you're not checked in and everything by, you know, 3 o'clock for a 4 o'clock sailing, you're going to have to meet up with the ship at the next port of call and hope you've got travel insurance.
And hope you can get to the next port of call. My very first cruise was out of Venice, and my luggage was missing. The only option that I had, literally, this first stop on this small, very small cruise ship was this little island off the coast of Italy, whose name I've completely forgotten. And all it houses is a monastery. They were like, there's not even a helicopter pad there. There's no way we could get your luggage to you there. It would be, so it would basically be 4 days later before I would be able to get to my luggage if I didn't get it before I got on that ship. So yeah, you really have to think about where you're going and,
what you should pack in your overnight case.
And you can't fit. Now, if you live in Tampa and you're sailing out of Miami, you're probably okay. But if you live in Southern California, which is warm, and you're flying to Miami, which is warm in the winter, you may be connecting in Dallas.
Or Atlanta.
And it snows in Dallas
sometimes,
folks.
Atlanta was shut down.
Does. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, you're a snowbird flying from Minnesota trying to get away from that cold winter weather and trying to take a cruise to the Caribbean in December. Your leaving attire is going to be completely different. I had this same thing happen to me the first time I came to the States. It was July, which in London, it was about 63 degrees. And I was dressed appropriately. I got to Charlotte, it was 102. Mm-hmm. And I was not dressed appropriately. And they took one look at English boy here and said, what's your game? And made me sit in a little waiting room for 2 hours and detained me.
So when bad things happen in airports, I think one, like, what are the big rules that you would follow? I mean, obviously call your travel agent, but also stay calm. I know a lot of people have been treated much better simply because they were the only nice person in line.
I think one of the big things too is before you leave, check in online before you leave your house. Do that the day before. Make sure that you have your seat ticketed, you know, because they do oversell, you know, and then you might not be bumped.
Yes. And be ready to be flexible. I mean, understand, like, by booking early, you can be a little bit more flexible.
And I have always wished I was one of those people that could take advantage of the free ticket when they overbook a flight and they're asking. And it seems like I can never do it. I've always got somewhere to be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or I've got my whole family with me and they frown on me leaving them. Yeah.
And I'm like, if it happens this time, I'm doing it.
I have to just like segue into insurance because a lot of people think, oh, well, okay, so people who do believe in insurance and will buy insurance think, usually wrong, that insurance will cover flight stuff like this. And a lot of times you're looking at the least expensive flights, and those least expensive flights are non-refundable. Mm-hmm. Even with insurance, you might get a year to use those flights, and they might only go to that destination. But if something happens, you're still going to there's a change fee, there's a reissue fee. If you have to cancel that flight, even if you have canceled for any reason, you're still going to have to pay a cancel fee. It's ridiculous. All these things happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then that brings you into insurance and how important insurance is. And getting back to what I said earlier, when you think, oh, I'm never going to buy insurance because I'm going to go on this trip. I don't care if I'm sick. I don't care this or that. But just recently, so the date today, I don't know when people are listening to this podcast, but the date today is August 2014. We're in August 2014. And just last Thursday, two hurricanes and an earthquake hit the Big Island.
What are the odds?
Gosh. So I was up. Until midnight with clients who were flying the day Thursday. The hurricane was supposed to hit Thursday, the first one, and they were supposed to arrive Thursday. They had insurance, but the tour had not canceled. The flight had not canceled yet. It's midnight, and nothing is canceled yet. They had to cancel by 7 a.m. in order to qualify for the insurance. It was just ridiculous. So we were up at 4 in the morning canceling, and even though they had the insurance, they did have those non-refundable tickets. A lot of times, though, airlines, when there's weather-related things like this, they'll give you like a leeway of a couple days to cancel, and they'll give you a voucher or a rebook code, but you're not getting that money back.
That said, it doesn't mean the insurance is worthless, because that same client did get money back for that trip.
Let's just say this was like at least a $10,000 trip. They would have only gotten $3,000 back versus the $6,000, because they're not getting money back for the air. They're getting a voucher. Yeah. So yeah.
So another thing about insurance that I really had to go around and around with my dad, because we're all going on a family cruise, and you know, my dad is retired and he's got Medicaid. And I'm like, you know, once you leave the country, you don't have insurance, you know, you don't have medical insurance. So this will cover you. So then his thing was, oh, well, I only want medical. I don't want insurance for if the trip cancels because I'm going, you know, and I'm like, well, that's not really how it works. You buy the whole thing. And I, you know, I think once I sent him the quote, he was okay with the price because it wasn't really, it's really minimal compared to what you invest in your trip, you know, to make sure. And then you're covered if anything goes wrong. Well, not anything, but, you know, a lot of things. And I have kind of a klutzy family, so I don't want to have to take a helicopter off of a ship. So, you know,
yes. And so, you certainly don't want to pay for it if you do have to.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly.
And that, yeah, I mean, you don't want to pay out of pocket for that. And there are so many stories out there of people, perfectly healthy people, who go on vacation. And, you know, if you're planning on doing anything daring at all, including walking on the deck of the ship.
Think about where you're going to. Yeah. Like, you're going to some of these countries.
That's a very good point. When I was working as a tour guide all over Europe, I had a group arrive in Frankfurt from a Germany tour. A couple from Canada flew in, and in the middle of the night, I got a phone call from reception saying that the gentleman wasn't feeling well. And we made it through to the next morning. He said he felt even worse, and he just wanted to up sticks and fly back to Canada because he didn't want to get treated for whatever it was ailing him in Germany, which astounded me. But, you know, he had insurance. He canceled. He was able to cancel. He was able to get a flight out the next day. Mm-hmm. And I heard from them later that they appreciated my input in helping them get it all taken care of. And it was kidney stone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
He could have been quite easily treated. But, you know, the number of times I had to take people to the hospital in the middle of the night, whether they'd stumbled blindly through the hotel room and tripped and cut their head or, you know, twisted their ankle on a dodgy sidewalk or something.
Yeah. My mom, she tripped and broke her leg and ended up in a nursing home in California for 6 weeks.
I've been into a hospital in Canada. Thank you, Canada, because Canada completely paid for it. But yeah, I mean, I love Canada. Yeah, it's you really don't know. And you know, I was a very healthy 24-year-old, but people get sick. And incidentally, you know, ships can turn you away too. You know, one of the biggest complaints I hear about cruise ships nowadays, one of the biggest walls for people going to prevent people from going onto a cruise ship is that they hear that they're like these festering, disease-ridden things. And it's actually not true. And the ships do a whole lot to prevent that. Yeah. And I sat in a room with a ship's doctor because my son is basically allergic to the state of Florida. And so he had a runny nose and they sent him to the doctor for evaluation. The doctor took one look at him and he said, and I kid you not, it's clear. It's allergies. Look.
Come back from a cruise this past weekend. And that's the first thing they ask you. They don't ask you, Mr. Simmons, what are you doing? It's like, have you or any of your families exhibited flu-like symptoms in the past week or two?
Yeah, you have to fill out a questionnaire to get on the ship. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So what about hotels? Have we ever had problems with hotels?
I had one of those too. But
what did you have happen, Amy?
So it was three different rooms, all one family, multi-generational. They did say the resort was beautiful, but I would say it was a mid-range. It wasn't a high-end budget, but it wasn't a low budget. They still spent a good penny on this. And although the resort was beautiful, the staff was awful. They were rude. They had one of the older parents, the grandparents' room had issues with the air conditioner and issues with the outlets and the electricity. Finally, they removed after I think that one of the people in the party was in the office all day, wasting a Davis vacation, arguing with management, trying to change rooms, and they wanted to change the room to the other side of the resort, all sorts of things. So what do you do? Like, I didn't even know this was happening until the clients got back. First of all, call your travel agent. They might be able to do something for you.
That's so important. Call your travel agent right away. Yeah. Yeah.
Get more people on it. Don't wait till you get back.
Not only would we have a BDM for that resort, but we would also have our supplier that we booked it through.
We have relationships that we can rely on rather than just them showing up and getting madder and madder and madder and getting nowhere fast.
It stinks. They did not, you know, I think that they were okay. Thank goodness they were not like, you know, just really, they were not happy with the resort, and I will never send anybody else there.
Yeah, well, it definitely leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Yeah, I had an issue while I was on my cruise. Of course, I was in the Western Caribbean, and Wi-Fi connections were kind of spotty, to say the least. But it just proves that the glamorous part of being a travel agent is that I was able to fix a big hotel issue in New York City from a beach in Honduras. But where there was just an issue, it was a miscommunication. The reservation had been issued, the hotel vouchers had been issued, but somewhere along the line, the hotel had dropped the ball and not made the reservation in their system, and my clients get up there, and you know, I don't find out about this was on the Saturday. I didn't find out about it till the following Wednesday when I had Wi-Fi again. I was able to, but they had to pay out of pocket, were forced to, or they would have had nowhere to stay in New York City. Of course, we all know how expensive New York City accommodations can be. So, of course, one calls to the, or emails to the travel agent. I called the vendor. We got it straightened out in about 30 minutes, and they were refunded everything that they had to pay out of pocket for. So it was, these things happen. But that just shows why people should, if you use a travel agent, don't be afraid to contact them no matter what, no matter where in the world they might be. Mm-hmm. Vacationing themselves, just make things happen.
I had clients go into Europe and their flight got canceled, and so they were put on a different flight. And so while they were doing their flights, I was contacting their hotel, letting them know they weren't going to get there on time. They were going to get there the next morning. Don't cancel the reservation. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is a lot of peace of mind having somebody in the background helping.
But again, the theme there is also to remain calm and, you know, to really know, make sure you have your confirmation number with you, make sure you have your vouchers and be ready, be flexible to.
I had somebody get their shuttle bus to take them to the wrong hotel, and then they got the call that they said they had no reservation, and I was like, what?
You know? Yep.
That's one thing you really need to pay attention to. I mean, I've been in cities where there have been, for example, two Hotel Imperials.
Yeah. It was. It was a similar name.
You've got to pay attention and be a little bit savvy and know where you're going. You can look it up online yourself and make sure you know where you are. Look at the address. Look and see if it might be the right area. I mean, sure, things happen. There's got to be a little bit of awareness as well.
Well, and I think everyone has had a situation where a GPS has taken them to the wrong place. So you know.
Don't
that
get
it's
me started
so
on my
easy.
San Antonio story.
Yeah, so to trust a taxi driver to take you to the right Imperial Hotel without an address is really not fair to anybody. It's just way too easy to make.
So let me throw something else out there when we're talking about hotels, and this might give you guys the heebie-jeebies, but there's a huge concern, and for some people, maybe not for all people, but for me, about bed bugs. And I am a firm believer that you can get bed bugs in the nicest hotel. It doesn't have to be a crappy hotel. You know? So I always do the bed bug check every time I go to a hotel. I do it for every bed. I pull up all the sheets. I look in all the little crevices of the mattress and because it can happen anywhere. It's not just the sketchy ones. It's,
right.
But when we're talking about travel issues and problems, it makes me think as well that a lot of people don't realize just sort of what sort of the importance of having the correct travel documentation. I'm not just talking about having a valid passport for travel. I'm talking about, you know, some countries require you to have at least 6 months after the end of your scheduled stay, just in case anything happens. Mm-hmm. And they want to make sure that you are able to get back and your passport is not about to expire any time while you're traveling, and that you have the correct paperwork and visas to enter a particular country. I've had situations when I was working in Germany. I had a group of 52 passengers in a full motor coach, where I had a group from India who just had neglected to get the right visa to enter Switzerland. India and Switzerland, you know, require pretty strict visa controls, and they didn't have the correct paperwork. The Swiss Guard border control agent got on board the bus, checked everybody's passports, and frog marks them off the bus. It's just very important to make sure you have all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed. If you're going to some far-flung parts of the world.
Well, anywhere now, really. I mean, you can't even go to Canada or Mexico from the U.S. now without a passport. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I remember the first time I went to Tijuana, I didn't even bring my ID with me. I'm like about as American as like you can look, I guess. But, I had no issues. But
that was a long time ago.
Yeah. It was. I was 19.
It was a very long time ago. Well, and my father, actually, one of the many things he taught me was to always carry a passport when traveling, because you just never know where you'll end up. And his example was, he worked for a company that was headquartered in Basel, Switzerland. And if you know where Basel is, it's basically on the border of France and Germany, to the extent that the Basel Country Club, at least at that time, I haven't been in a long time, but at that time, the Basel Country Club was in France. And this company would entertain at the Basel Country Club, which was in France. And one of the things they would love to do with their American guests is drive through Germany to get to France, to get to the club. So they would go through, which is very, I mean, as for an American, that is really cool. You can't do that in America.
Absolutely.
But there was a gentleman who was traveling for the first time, and he left his passport in his room. Mm-hmm. And he was able to get to France through the borders without that much checking. This was before 9/11. But on the way back through, the German border stopped him. And basically, he had to wait at the German border while his traveling companions drove back into Switzerland, got his passport out of his safe, drove back, picked him up, and took him back. So you always carry it with you, especially in Europe or in other countries where the borders are very close together.
It's particularly important in countries like Switzerland that aren't members of the European Union. And speaking of Basel, the main train station in Basel, you were there. You changed trains in March.
Mm-hmm.
The border runs right through the train station. Part of it's in France, part of it's in Switzerland.
That's like Carowinds.
It's just like Carowinds, Sandy. It's just like that.
Passport to get from one side of Carowinds to the other.
I know there are races where you need a passport because you run in, like Detroit Marathon, you run into Canada. You need a passport. Sorry.
This goes to say that you really need to make sure and check with your travel agent, the appropriate consuls, that you do have the required paperwork to enter whatever country it is you're desiring to travel to.
And give yourself plenty of time to get it all done because...
And don't get sick.
Yeah.
Don't get sick in there.
Plan. And don't trip.
Don't trip. Don't break your leg.
So if you do lose your passport, what do you do? And it is possible, go to your embassy or, you know, where depending on where you are, it is possible to get it done in a day. However, it won't be done in much less than that. So,
you know, I'll say too, the whole stay calm thing, I think, is a good mantra because I had a client who was in Israel when, you know, the airlines that like American and United, I think the American Airlines stopped going into Israel for a day or two. And he was supposed to fly out like 3 days after that. I was kind of in contact with some of his family and he never panicked at all. Like the people over there weren't panicked. I don't know if it's our news or what. Yeah, everything was fine. You know, he got back okay and stuff. But I was a little bit nervous. But you know, I mean, but things can happen. But you just stay calm and, you know. Luckily,
well,
he was
the French are used to transportation strikes. Like every month, right? Once a month, they go on strike.
Not just transportation.
It's definitely very different.
And I think I'll just refrain from my opinion on different news stations. But I'm going to just say I just spent a week with my dad, so
that's a very valid point because the media do blow things out of proportion. Oh, yeah. For example, you know that every time my mother, bless her cotton socks, you know she's in her 70s, and every time she hears that there is a hurricane threat. In, you know, the Caribbean or the United States, she thinks that my life is in imminent danger. You know, so she'll call and say, "Is everything okay?" And the brilliant sunshine outside. Yes, Mom, everything's fine.
Well, yeah. And that is just, there are tragedies that happen, and certainly, you know, we know that there are many vacationers who've suffered with typhoons, things like that. I mean, there's definitely world tragedies, but the important thing is to keep your head about you and try to think of the best way to solve the problem. The complaining and the getting angry in airports, things like that. It really doesn't accomplish anything for anybody, including you. So
it's kind of like you can decide what your experience is going to be. Even if it starts out bad, you can decide that it's going to end up okay.
Happiness is a state of mind.
That's very true.
Yes. You only have control over how you react. Yes. So. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. On behalf of Elizabeth, Amy, Andy, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we will see you next week. Gotta fly.